Hey, listen, can we give it up not only for those that are here in the building for the first time, but those that are first-time guests watching online today? Come on, can you give it up for all of them today? Yeah, welcome. Welcome. And if you're joining with us online for the first time, we pray that you feel the presence of God wherever you're watching us from. And if you're ever in the Dothan area, I pray you'd come be a part of one of these services, because I truly believe there's nothing like being in the house of God. And today, if you'll grab your copy of God's Word and say this with me, say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, I'll receive God's Word, and I'll obey God's Word, because I love His Word. Now just turn to your neighbor and say, it's beginning to feel a little like Christmas. Just a little bit. It's not quite cold enough yet, but it's getting to feel a little bit like it. And you can turn to Luke chapter 1. Today, I want to talk to you about a pretty unique subject, and that is that God can use you this Christmas to make a difference. This Christmas, I believe God wants to use you to make a difference in the world. And I wonder how God would choose to use people. I mean, some people think, well, it's got to be kind of haphazard and random, like God chooses these in these arbitrary ways, you know. He chooses the special ones. He chooses the ones that seem to have all these gifts or talents or abilities. Can I just let you know, I don't believe that you've really, truly lived until you've been used by God to make a difference. You haven't lived yet until you've known the joy of being used by God. And some of you might say, well, Mark, you just don't know me. You just don't know who I am, what I've done, who I've been, or you don't know the lack of talent or gift that I have. Let me just tell you, can I just let you know, God wants to use you. As a matter of fact, I believe I could sum up the whole of this message in four words. God can use you. And I would say it like this. It's not that God just can use you. He wants to use you. He desires to use you to make a difference on planet Earth, and especially right now around the holidays, He's eager and willing to use you. A great example of this, I believe, at Christmas time, when we look at the Christmas story, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why did God choose to use her? Out of all the people in the world, why would He choose this teenage girl to bring forth the blessing, the promise, the gift of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh? Why would He use this little peasant teenage girl? I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions about Mary that are not in the Bible. And let me just tell you, not once in the Bible does it say we should worship Mary or idolize her. There's not once in the scriptures that says or indicates that she was perfect or sinless. Not once in the scripture does it indicate that she's equal with God. The reason that Mary is so special is because she wasn't so special. God chose to use a woman that, listen, God used an ordinary woman to do an extraordinary thing. And so it is with each and every one of us. The reason Mary is so special is because God chose to use her. And so it is with each and every one of us. God chose Mary because she trusted Him. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. And an angel came in and explained what was about to happen. This is Mary's reaction. Initially, it was shock. Let's look at it in Luke chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. It says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. She said, don't be afraid or frightened, Mary, the angel told her. Listen, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. That Greek word there, confused, or those two words, confused and disturbed, literally means petrified, scared to death. And I'd be a little scared if an angel showed at my door, right? Had some news for me. I'd be a little nervous. And the angel said, you're going to be the mother of the Messiah. Think of the fears that she had to face. I mean, just at minimum, the fear of how is this going to happen? Like, how is God going to use me? The idea of change, how it would change her life. The fear of the supernatural. How could this possibly take place? Or even the fear of inadequacy. Like, Lord, how could you possibly use someone like me? Or how about the fear of criticism? What are people going to think about me? And I believe that all of us in this room have faced those four fears at some point or another in your journey of faith with God. And it can actually, if you allow those fears, it can keep you from being used by God. It's not that Mary wasn't afraid. She was afraid, but she didn't allow that fear to alter her faith in God. Mary modeled for us three things that I believe that we all must have if we're going to be used by God. And this morning I want to go through and share these three characteristics of people or of ways that God can use us. If we'll possess these character qualities, I believe God can use you beyond your wildest imagination. And the first one is simply this, it's the desire to be used by God. If God uses people that desire to do his will. Plain and simple. I mean, if you don't want it, God won't give it. But if you want it, if you truly desire it, God will use you. God has a plan for your life this morning. I want you to know he wants to use you in profound ways beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. And yet, he's waiting on you to want his will. I believe that God has a custom-made plan for each one of us. And many of you know the way I look at life through this unique lens of the fingertips, the fingerprints that God put on these fingertips. Why do I talk about it so often? Because why would God, the creator of the universe, choose to carve little tiny, seemingly insignificant grooves in your fingertips that would be different than every other human being that has ever lived or will ever live? Why would God choose to do it? Because he wants you to make a difference with these hands. He wants you to put your hands to things that will prosper. He wants you to make a difference in the world. And so he's got this custom-made plan. But the fact is, some people think they can fall backward into God's plan. I would say it like this. It's possible for you to live your entire life and miss God's plan. It's possible for you, not that God didn't create you in this way, not that God didn't have a purpose and a plan laid out from the beginning. Before you ever took your first breath, God had the plan. The fact is, you have to desire God's plan for your life. You have to choose to cooperate with God's purpose or you'll miss it. You can choose to waste your life, you can choose to squander your life, or you can choose to make it count. It's not automatic. His plan comes through those who are willing to be used by him. One day an angel shows up and Mary is there and angel says, oh, God's got this great idea. He's got this great plan. He's got this great purpose for your life. Mary, it's going to be awesome. God's sending a Messiah. And guess what? He's using your body to be the vehicle through who he travels to this earth. Why did God choose that way to send a baby to earth? Well, one reason is because nobody's scared of a baby. And can you imagine if the creator of the universe, the God on high, revealed himself in all of his majesty and glory in ways that all of us would be afraid of or run from? Well, he did that during certain seasons of time. You can look back and see that when he was ready to carve out the Ten Commandments. He was on a mountaintop and there was fire and all this stuff and the people were afraid and scared to approach. He came as a little baby because he said, I want you to approach me. And he came through a birth like all of us that he might relate to us. He wants to have you get to know him and he wants to know you. God tells Mary, I'm going to use you as the vehicle by which I enter the world. Let's look at Mary's response in Luke chapter 1. Let's continue on in verses 46 through 48. Here's her response. My soul praises the Lord. My heart rejoices in God my Savior because he's shown his concern for his humble servant girl. Listen, Mary didn't say, well, what about my goals? What about my dreams? What about my ambitions? I mean, I want what I want, and I don't want you to interfere with what I've got planned. I got some things going, God. Choose somebody else. Use somebody else. I want to do my thing. No, Mary didn't decline God's will. Mary desired God's will. And the first reason God chose her is she desired his will. More than anything else. She accepted it. She said, my soul praises the Lord. I want this. Let me ask you the question. Do you want to be used by God? I mean, truly, I want you to just think about this. As I know some of you know we're in a church and we're supposed to have all the right answers where we say yes to God and all those great things. I'm just asking you personally to take inventory of your life right now and ask yourself, do you really, truly want to be used by God? Do you want God's will more than anything else? If you want to be used by God, you need to have at least two of those attitudes that seem to be resident in Mary in Luke chapter 1. Two attitudes. First one is enthusiasm for God's will. Mary said this, my soul praises the Lord, and look at my heart rejoices. This wasn't simply acceptance or tolerance. This was eagerness. This was enthusiasm. This was desire. Where did she get that enthusiasm, and where do we get that enthusiasm? The fact is the Greek word from it, that word enthusiasm comes from is two words, en theos. That's where it literally comes from, in God. Enthusiasm, that word was previously used throughout history. The word enthusiasm wasn't the kind of way we use it today where we're enthusiastic about a ball game or we're enthusiastic about parties or we're enthusiastic about getting presents. Enthusiasm literally means to be possessed by God, to be used for his purpose, or to be inspired by God to make a difference in the world. You get enthusiasm when you get into God's plan for your life. So the first one was enthusiasm. The second was humility. Look at this. Mary says, thank you for thinking of your humble servant girl. Mary didn't say, hey, God, you have no idea what a big deal you got when you got me. I mean, do you know my talents and my abilities and who I am and what I've done? I am amazing. I am awesome. Boy, did you get a deal when you got me. No, she said, you're humble, sir. Thank you for using me. Thank you for the willingness to use. Can I just tell you, God uses us not because we deserve it, but because he desires it. None of us deserve to be used by God. Friends, let me tell you something. We are all trophies of God's grace. All of us. None of us deserve to be used by God. We humbly submit to his will, and then he chooses to use us for a divine plan that goes beyond our imagination. We need to humbly say, thank you, Lord, for working in me. Thank you, Lord, for choosing to use me in any way, in any time, in any fashion. God, thank you for using me. The Bible called David a man after God's own heart. Why? It's not because he was perfect. By far, he was not. But David said this in Psalm 40, verse 8. He said, I desire to do your will, my God. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 5, 9. He says, our only goal is to please God. Is that your only goal today? To please God, whatever he wants? Well, how do you know you really want God's will? If you're listening and obeying every day. Some of us have overlooked the idea of a quiet time, a time alone with the Lord every day where you just choose to listen for his clear direction and guidance for the day. And I wonder how many of us have missed out on divine moments, divine opportunities, divine things that God had in store for us that day simply because we weren't paying attention. We weren't listening. We didn't check in with him every day to figure out what it was that was in his will for our lives. And one of the reasons that God chose Mary, she had a listening ear. She was tuned into God. She said, God, whatever you want to do with my life, do it. Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says that like this, that Mary quietly treasured these things in her heart and often contemplated and thought about them. She had a habit of listening when God was speaking. I wonder what it is that you desire most in life. I mean, out of all the priorities that you could choose, I wonder what you really, really want out of life. I mean, maybe for some of you, you're single and you want to be married. For some of you, you're in school and you want to graduate. For others of you, you just want a career. For others of you, you want to raise. For some of you, you want to make a bunch of money and be financially free. I don't know what it is that you want as you've placed as your top priority, but whatever you spend the majority of your time doing, that's what you're prioritizing your life around. And can I tell you, we're missing it if we're not listening for the desired will of God. What's He want for your life? What did He make you and create you for? You better have a greater purpose in life than just wanting to retire and die, because God's got something for you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, many of you know this scripture. Seek first. Everybody say, seek first. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be provided for you. It starts with desire. The second thing is God uses people who are determined to pay the price. Let me tell you something. There's always a cost in following God's plan. God says to you, there is a cost. Jesus was not quiet about it. He didn't hide it. He said, there's a cost to follow. He said, take up your cross and follow me. There's a cost to it. There may be things that you'll need to give up in order to follow God's plan for your life. But when you say, this year, God, I want to be used by you, let me tell you something, there's a cost. There's a price to pay in stepping out in faith. And Mary decided in advance, she was willing to pay the price. Luke chapter 1, verse 38, let's read this. It says, Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. I'm willing to do, what's the next word? Whatever. Whatever He wants. May everything you say come true. Says, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Doesn't matter the cost, I'm willing to pay the price. Have you ever said that to God? I mean, I know for many of you, you've said, Lord, I give you my life, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I give you my life. But when you give your life, have you said, God, I'm willing to pay the price, I'm willing to count the cost, I'm willing to do what it takes, whatever you have in store for me. God, your will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Have you said that to God lately? What does whatever include? Whatever you have for me. What does whatever include? It includes everything, anything, whatever you want. Can you imagine the cost that Mary had to pay by saying yes to be the mother of Jesus Christ? Think about her, even just her reputation, right? The only pregnant virgin. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, and how am I going to explain this to our community? How am I going to explain this to... Think about the fact that Jesus didn't begin truly His earthly ministry until the age of 30. So for 30 years, people kept watching and wondering and waiting. Sure He's God. You're a pregnant virgin, huh? Yeah, and the baby daddy ain't Joseph, right? Yeah, sure. Baby daddy is who now? Who's that? Baby daddy is God? So you're the first godparents, is that what it is? You're the God, anyway. I mean, think about it, the ridicule. What are my friends going to think? What are my parents going to think? What is my fiance going to think? If you were engaged to a girl, she said, I'm pregnant with a baby. Ain't yours. It's God's. Right. She was even willing to lose the man that she loved to fulfill the will of God the Father. The point is, if you get serious about God's plan for your life, there will be people who will misunderstand you, who will misjudge you, and even criticize you for following God. Mary sacrificed her comfort. Can you imagine? I know that I've never been pregnant, but I can just tell you what my wife seemed to experience. It was a lot of discomfort through those days. But can you imagine if you were Mary, and the Bible said that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem and Mary's in Nazareth and she's 9 months pregnant. Now she's got to take a long journey on the back of a donkey. Can I tell you, when I was with my dear, sweet pregnant wife, I can just tell you, even the roads seemed a little too bumpy when we were driving in the car. Have you ever had your wife look over at you when you hit a bump in the road and she acted like you put that bump there and hit it on purpose? Come on, somebody. That is a 9-month pregnant lady. How'd you like to be a young teenage peasant girl having your first child in a foreign city away from family and friends in a barnyard by yourself? And then once the baby's born, now the king is after your baby to kill him. And you have to flee with your husband to a foreign country in Egypt. God's purpose, listen, God's purpose for your life will include some problems. Let me say that again. God's purpose for your life will include some problems. And God already knows, and they are father filtered, and you need to trust God in the middle of the crisis. It's part of the cost. Jesus was very upfront about the cost. He said it like this in Luke chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. No one can be my disciple who doesn't carry his own cross, but don't begin until you've counted the cost. Jesus didn't pretend there was no cost involved. So listen to me, friends. Don't pretend to commit your life to God until you've counted the cost. The Apostle Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. All these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust in and hope in Christ alone. Paul understood the benefits outweigh the sacrifice. He's saying those things I used to think are important are no longer important in light of what God can do in and through my life. What are you willing to give up in order to be used by God? Let's ask that really important, very significant question. What are you willing to give up to be used by God? Are you willing to give up some habits, dreams, ambitions, goals, plans, finances, whatever it may be, to do what he's called you to be? Or to do what he's called you to do and be who he's called you to be, what are you willing to sacrifice? Finally, God uses people who dare to trust his promises. It takes faith and courage to be used by God, friend. I'm going to tell you, it takes real courage. And listen, courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is moving forward in spite of the fear and just doing it anyway. Facing that fear and doing what God has called you to do. Listen, Mary was not, it wasn't that she was not afraid. It was that she faced the fear and she had faith and courage in spite of it. She trusted God. Luke chapter 1, verses 34 and 35. Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's so important. I need to stop right there. If you need power in your life, the Holy Spirit's the one that brings it. Invite Holy Spirit into your life, into your world, into your day, into your routine. Make the focus of your life the power source of the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit should come upon you and the power of God will overshadow you for every promise. Everybody say every promise. Every promise from God will surely come true. God uses people who dare to trust his promises. Don't be afraid of the supernatural. I believe you should expect miracles. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you read through the scripture, the follows, them that believed, it says there were miracles that followed. There's a very important story in our family history, but it predates me. It goes back before me, before I was born, before I was a gleam and a twinkle in mama and daddy's eye over here. It was when my dad was 13 years of age. And as a teenage middle school boy, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And it was back in those days, there weren't cures and all the research and development had not yet been done. And all these vaccines and all that's now available, a lot of that wasn't available then. And 6 weeks he spent in a hospital room as a 13-year-old kid. And now it's coming closer and closer to Christmas time. And his mother and father, who really weren't serving the Lord during those seasons, especially his dad, but here his mom sits knowing that her little 13-year-old boy is getting ready to be sent off into isolation over the Christmas holidays. And there she is at work. And sure enough, the the music that's playing is the Christmas carols. I love Christmas carols. As a matter of fact, I think that's one of the great things. Out of all the years that have passed, and it seems like all the laws and restrictions that have been placed around this one single solitary season where, you know, the separation of church and state, and you can't have this and you can't have that. Don't say Merry Christmas and don't do this and don't do that. It's funny how no matter what secular place you go to get your clothes or get, you know, your food or get whatever it is that you're buying during the Christmas holidays, you'll always hear the word of God during the holiday season. Why? Because it's Christmas time, and during Christmas time we get to hear Christmas carols where you can hear Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. And even in secular schools, when they do Christmas performances, they'll sing Christmas songs with Jesus in them, the story of Christ. And while my dad's mom, my grandmother, in sorrow over her 13-year-old boy diagnosed with a deadly disease, is getting ready to be placed in isolation over the Christmas season, she hears these songs and she begins to weep. And there's this woman comes beside her, a woman that she worked with but hadn't met before, a woman by the name of Agnes Zerwoski. Agnes comes up beside her, puts her arm around my grandmother's shoulder as she weeps, and says one of the great verses in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, simply says this: cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. His mother, my grandmother, told the story of what had taken place in his life at the time, and they prayed together that day. At the very same day, that very same moment, a youth pastor showed up at the hospital and prayed for him before he was going to be shipped off to isolation. And they began to, that very next morning, they ran the tests, and they were about to send him off. And come to find out, amazingly enough, there was absolutely no tuberculosis that was found that day. All the scans from 6 weeks were, he's got it. All of a sudden now, he doesn't have it complete. All there was a little scar proving that he had been healed of tuberculosis. Can I just tell you, I have a woman that I will one day meet, maybe in heaven, to say thank you to, and her name is Agnes. And I wonder if there's an Agnes in the room today. I just wonder. I mean, my whole life was changed and I didn't even know her. Because it was a lady that was willing at work to stop what she was doing and come alongside a grieving mother whose child was ill at Christmas and give her peace and comfort and speak scripture and life, and then pray a prayer of faith. It wasn't in a big, huge church service. It wasn't a healing rally. It wasn't a crusade. It wasn't with organ music and lights and sound and bells and whistles. It's right there at work in a moment of need that Agnes comes along. And I believe that today, as I look across this congregation, I know some of you. I know your heart. I know your love. I know your willingness to serve God. I've watched your faith. I've watched your faithfulness. I've seen what God can do in and through you. And maybe you don't see what I see, or you may not see what God sees, but I'm telling you, God wants to use you this Christmas for a purpose, for a reason. He wants the light to shine bright through you. And I don't know what it is that you feel your inadequacies are. And I don't know what great gifts Agnes had or what kind of life she lived. All I know is God used her in one moment to bring healing and comfort to a mother and to her 13-year-old boy who is desperately in need. Luke chapter 18, verse 27, Jesus says it like this: what is impossible with men is possible with God. God uses people who will dare to trust his promises. And if the worship team would come as we prepare to close, Mary had every reason to be worried, but instead of worry, she worshiped. Matter of fact, Mary writes a song, one of the most beautiful worship songs during that season. Instead of panicking, she prayed and she praised. And my challenge to you is this: when you're in over your head, when you feel like life is crushing in on you, when you feel like you're inadequate or couldn't be used by God, don't worry, begin to worship. Don't panic. Pray and praise. Luke chapter 1, verse 45, Mary's cousin Elizabeth said this. She says, "You believed that God would do what he said. That's why he's given you this wonderful blessing." God uses people who are willing to desire his will more than their own, who are willing to pay the price and who are willing to trust him. And if God could use this poor, seemingly insignificant teenager to change the course of human history, how much more could God use you? There's enormous spiritual potential in this room. You are gifted with health and with strength and with anointing and with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're anointed with love and good gifts that God has given you. And he didn't give them to you that you might use them for your own purpose. He gave them to you that you might use them for his purposes. And I truly believe one day we'll all stand before God and he'll say, "What did you do with what I gave you?" So I leave you with these thoughts. What are you willing to do to be used by God? Do you say, "God, anywhere, anytime, any place, Lord, whatever you have for me, God, I'm all in. No matter what you have for me, I am all in. I'm willing, I desire, I will pay the cost. I trust your promises. I'll do your will. God, whatever it takes, I'm all in." Or are you a sideline sitter that says, "Yeah, I believe those things in the Bible, but I just have my own desire, my own way, my own will, more than God's"? It starts with a deep desire and a true hunger to say, "Jesus, you own me completely. Make me what you have. I'll give up whatever. I've been designed by you. Even though I'm afraid, let me tell you something. The secret to overcoming fear, the fear of the unknown, is focusing on the known. Let me tell you what the known is. God loves you. God cares for you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. God has something laid out that is extraordinary. It's exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever ask, think, or imagine. And today, he wants to extend his grace and his blessing to you, if you're willing. You know, it's Christmas time, and as we all know, around this time, we get gifts for a whole bunch of people, and I just wonder, in the room, how many of you even thought about what you're going to get the birthday boy for Christmas? I mean, you got gifts for grandmama and granddaddy, and you got gifts for mama and dad, and you got gifts for brother and sister, and you got gifts for aunt and uncle and nephew and cousin, and you got all these different gifts that you're going to give to all your kids and your grandbabies, and you got the perfect gift for everybody. Have you even thought about getting a gift for Jesus? You say, "Well, Mark, I mean, you know, I guess it's his birthday and all, but what can I give the one who has everything?" You know what I'm saying? Listen, the one thing that you can give that he has asked for is yourself. All of you, that you say yes to Jesus. "God, have your way in me." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, in this room, I realize that it can be a little frightening, a little scary, the idea that we might be used by you for your purposes. And yet, Lord, it's part of your divine plan that you've laid out, a strategy that goes beyond our timeline and into eternity. And God, I pray that you would make us like Agnes that day with my grandmother, that we would be willing to slow down, to look around, and to be used by you for your purpose. Your will be done. you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just another moment, there may be some in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him truly Lord and Savior of every area. I've said it for so many years, but I love repeating it. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all in your life. Today, I'm inviting you to reach out to Christ, to make him Lord and Savior of every area of your life. Whether you're here in this room or watching online, I know God's been tugging on some hearts today. For some, this might be a rededication prayer where you'd say, Mark, honestly, if I'm being honest with myself, over this last year, I've kind of been doing my way, my wants, my will, my wishes. And really, if I'm honest, I need to make Jesus the priority. I need to make him Lord. Or for some of you, it may be a first-time commitment to say yes to him. Listen, friend, I truly believe that this whole service has been about this moment. God's allowed you to be here for this one moment for eternity that you can make a difference, make a change in the world. But first, you got to allow God to make a change in you. And if you'd say, Mark, that's me, I want to be included in this prayer. Listen, I'm not here to embarrass you. It's not my heart to judge you. I simply want to invite you into relationship with the only one who can set you free. His name is Jesus. And he's come to set you free right here, right now. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand, acknowledging by the raised hand, Mark, that's me. Come on, yes, God bless you. Yes, over here, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, in the front, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Under the balcony, yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Yes, in the balcony up here, God bless you. Yeah, anybody else? That's you today. You want to be included in this prayer? I'm not here to embarrass you. I won't judge you. I just want to invite you into this moment with Jesus. If that's you, I want to pray with you. God bless you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. This second call, I truly believe I feel so impressed to say this. If you're a Christian in the room, you love God, you've been serving Jesus, but you'd say, Mark, I really want to be used by God this holiday season. I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, everything's good between me and God, but I want to be used by God during this holiday season, and it's probably all of us, but I just want to make this call. If that's you today, I want you to slip up your hand. Mark, I just want to be used by God, yeah. Yeah. I'm in it to win it in this holiday season. God bless you. God bless you. So many that lifted their hands. Can we pray this prayer? Everybody, would you pray this prayer out loud together with me? Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. I give you every part of me. I belong to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for changing me. I choose to trust your plan and to trust in every area of my life that you are Lord. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.